So that was a group of kids walking down Target, Florida somewhere, yelling, take off your mask. It's not real. I mean, I don't know. Kids do stupid things these days, apparently.
Well, the problem with that is that when their parents aren't taking it seriously themselves, that is a recipe for disaster. It's like I actually have been dealing with people not wearing masks on my end, and it's just it's frustrating that they can't be reasoned with and they can't be negotiated with, and that the social contract is basically dead. I've heard the argument just recently. We talked about this before the show from a family member that said that they're not wearing a mask because nobody else is wearing a mask. And there lies the problem, is that it is a mob mentality. One's not wearing a mask, so that's justification not to wear a mask. By saying, well, I'm not wearing a mask because it's ineffective, because other people aren't wearing masks, so what's the point? It doesn't solve anything. Well, if everybody wore a fucking mask, it would solve it.
Yeah, it would definitely help a shit ton if everyone wore masks. And I even experienced this today. It really depends on where you go. Like, I had to go out of the house because there were power outages in my area from the hurricane. And the coffee shop that I went to, like, everyone there was socially distancing and wearing a mask and whatever. And, you know, it's like a shopping center area, right? So at least like some people are taking it seriously there. But then I went somewhere else to run some errands, and it was like a kind of downtown area of this city, and no one, not like a major city, but like a, you know, outskirts suburban area, and no one was wearing masks. Like no one on the sidewalk, no one in the shops. Like, it's just like they're pretending it doesn't exist. So it really depends on where you go, and it's especially the more rural.
Exactly, you can definitely tell the red areas from the blue areas, unfortunately, because you go to a red area, nobody's wearing a mask, nobody cares. But you go to a bigger city that's most likely going to be blue, and they're wearing masks.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Higher likelihood for sure. So this episode we've got a lot of stupid shit to talk about. So we might end up posting this into two separate recordings, if you know, depending on how long it goes. I'll just quickly go over the topics and then we'll get into some details. So first, we're going to cover some COVID stuff. There's some interesting updates with that, and then, in maybe not specifically in this order, but you know, this is what we're talking about. Scientific American endorses Joe Biden, which, oh boy, got some big issues with that. There's some updates on the Breonna Taylor case. There are some even more horrific things going on at the border. There's a big investigation into ICE, and yeah, we'll talk about what's going on there. And there's the Trump administration. There's just a series of things between the Trump administration and the UPS that he's just like, just hardcore doubling or tripling down on the nationalism aspect and basically rigging the election in his favor, or trying to. And then we'll finish off with some QAnon updates, which I wanted to bring up last episode, but I completely forgot. Got sidetracked by a bunch of other stuff, and I forgot to add it to the notes, but there is some interesting stuff going on with QAnon. So yeah, jumping into COVID. Numbers updates, according to John Hopkins, is 6.6 million cases with 197,000 deaths. John Hopkins is a little bit behind the other counting sources, so It might actually be a little bit higher. But overall, there's some, a lot of mixed messages with in regards to when a COVID vaccine is going to come out. The Serum Institute of India says that a COVID vaccine won't be available for everyone before the end of 2024 if big pharma firms don't ramp up their rate of production. That, you know, India, I mean, they have a lot of, they're pretty good with like medical technology or education, I should say. So I wouldn't like totally discredit that, but there are some other things to help corroborate that a little bit. CDC experts are saying that they expect a mid to late 2021, so like Q2, Q3, 2021 of next year, before like a widely available vaccine like even begins to hit the markets and ready for distribution. Now, Trump, of course, being the Trump is doing a Trump thing and saying, no, this is wrong. He said the CDC official was mistaken with that statement, and he said that vaccines will begin to roll out starting around October. And he stated this because he just the other day released a like a playbook basically outlining how to freely distribute the vaccine. And the there's a couple phases. The first phase, which it would begin in October, will target like healthcare workers and essential workers and other and vulnerable populations first. That's who they'll roll it out to, and then they'll move on from there as production ramps up. That's very optimistic, very optimistic timetable. None of the experts expected, even from the onset, for a vaccine to be ready for distribution. This early. The thing with me with this statement, and he signed like an executive order, made this whole thing about this playbook. And it is, and I did fact check this because this was too good to be true when I saw it. It will be free, and it will be free from certain distributors who meet certain qualifications. And one of the qualifications is they have to give people two doses of the vaccine in order to be eligible to receive all the supplies from the federal government that they need to distribute the vaccine. So, and then Biden kind of responded to this during a live press conference, but like this all happened the same day, so Biden didn't really have a response to it. To me, honestly, this could very easily win Trump the election. Just for optics alone, regardless of if it's true or not, he's going to go up on a debate stage with Biden or make some big campaign speech saying, hey, I'm going to give every American a free vaccine. Are the Democrats going to do that? No, they can't even pass another stimulus bill for the past 4 months because of partisanship, because they don't want to work with the good old Republicans just trying to do the country a good one. So I really do believe that like if this story gets perpetuated enough, it's like Trump just wins off of this alone. I mean, that's that, I don't know. That's my take.
My take on it.
I don't know. Go for it.
Is that there is no plan on either side. I believe Trump is really pushing for herd immunity. I don't see how we get a vaccination this by election season. And Joe Biden and the Democrats have been relatively ineffective at controlling the narrative, despite the fact that over 100,000, almost 200,000 have died, you know. And the fact that they can't control that narrative enough to be like, yo, this guy has killed, the official number right here, 202,000 people. And there's 6.8 million people confirmed to have contracted the coronavirus. And the fact that Joe Biden and the Democrats have been so ineffective that they are allowing Trump to control the narrative with the mountain of dead bodies in his wake because of his inaction, because of Republican partisanship, delaying any kind of negotiations with the stimulus bill. And people, we are approaching a homeless crisis. We are in an economic crisis. We are in a healthcare crisis. All the structures of our society are crumbling, and the Democrats can't even offer a decent solution to try to control the narrative. And that's just shows you how useless they are, that by no means should Donald Trump win in November. But if he does, it's nobody's fault except for the Democrats for not reaching out to voters, to not inspiring voters, to not coming up with solutions to economic plights, healthcare plights, and a homeless crisis that's impending. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with everything. Actually, I didn't add this to the notes, but I wanted to bring it up. I watched a recent interview with Professor Richard Wolff, who is a, for anyone who doesn't know, he's a pretty big name socialist economist. He's more of a democratic socialist, I think, rather than like a communist or anarchist.
I'm a radical Joe Biden, but, radical Marxist.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely not as radical as Biden or Harris.
Not even close.
Not even close. And he was basically saying that he didn't make a specific case that the COVID crisis was like the end of capitalism, but that capitalism's going to crumble. And I mean, this is, I'm not disputing this point, but I would also counter a little bit in that for people who are on the accelerationist side of the fence, where we just need to speed things up and collapse capitalism so that we can rebuild something new. Again, capitalism has these crises. Like, this is like a feature. This isn't a bug. This is like exactly what happens because of the nature of capital and how it operates. And this kind of massive, like the financial crisis of 2008, that should have been the end of capitalism, really. But it wasn't. It kept going on because the capitalist class figured out how to put enough band-aids on everything and then redirect capital in such a way that it keeps the system going, even if there are even more, there's even more inequality in the system. And this is what's going to happen with COVID. Like, this isn't the end of capitalism. We can't just accelerate it. They're going to restructure it in such a way. And I think they're going to do this through through this vaccine business in part. Healthcare is going to be huge. So like this free vaccine, like assuming it's free and they actually follow through with it, that means everyone's insurance rates are going to skyrocket. And it's the government doesn't do shit for free. So the taxpayers are going to also pay through for it through increased taxes. Probably at a higher price than, you know, whatever the private companies were saying, you know, hey, this this dose, full round of dose for COVID is, what was it, like $2,000 to $3,000 from one of the companies? Like, they're not going to get rid of that price tag. They're just going to pass it on to us in another way, because they know we're not willing to upfront pay for it if we can like see it. So I just wanted to throw that out there for any acceleration. Like, the only way that capitalism fails is in a fucking climate catastrophe, which it's perpetuating. So we're going to look at the end of the world, right? Like, literally. I don't know. I just, that was one of my thoughts when I saw the free vaccine thing and everything that's going on lately.
What a mess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fucking ridiculous mess. But I think that segues perfectly into the Scientific American endorsement of Joe Biden, because that was their big reason, was the climate change and basically Trump's denial of science. And we're kind of headed on a course for either self-destruction or at the very least like irreparable damage to the global environment. And I don't know. I've been talking for a little bit, so I'll just go over the highlights and I'll kick it off to you, and then I'll share my thoughts. So the article so the Scientific American has been around for 175 years and they've never endorsed a political candidate until now. It primarily talks about Trump's failures and his disregard for science and everything. And then the last half of it is showing some support for Biden, claiming that he understands how important science is, that Biden has a plan to tackle climate change by cutting global or gas emissions and whatever, which we all kind of know how bullshit that is, given like he can't even get any like minor concessions from the Bernie Sanders camp. But, you know, putting that aside, but there was one quote that really got to me with this, from the article, which goes, "That is why we urge you to vote for Joe Biden, who is offering fact-based plans to protect our health, our economy, and the environment. These and other proposals he has put forth can set the country back on a course for a safer, more prosperous, and more equitable future." So I've got a lot of thoughts about it, but
my take on it is that, like, scientists, like, should not be jumping in and endorsing candidates. I feel the same way that the military shouldn't be endorsing candidates, like generals shouldn't be endorsing candidates. They're supposed to be unbiased, impartial, even if one side is absolutely insane and is denying science. These are unprecedented times, but something about it just makes me feel a little squirmy. What's next? I know this is not really a valid argument, but what's next is like, is the APA, the Association of Psychologists, going to endorse Joe Biden because Trump's an egomaniac? I'm just like, these things need to be impartial. It's a slippery slope, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It is a slippery slope, and I mean, our science is the reason we have progressed as humanity as far as we have, because science is purely about unbiased, like actively removing human biases and trying to determine the truth. But what kind of got to me after looking at this a little bit more with this particular quote is the language it used. And yeah, it does set a bad precedent for scientific institution. It's a major one to endorse any kind of politician. Like, it's fine if an individual scientist has their personal beliefs and then they, you know, talk about it on their social media or at a speech or whatever. Like, that's fine. I think that's a little reasonable at an individual level, but not at an institutional level. But the thing is, this statement said the language it uses: to protect our economy, to ensure a more prosperous future. These are all words that directly relate to capitalism. And that is what worries me the most. Like, I can see the argument that, yeah, this is a catastrophe. Trump is going to put us on, you know, a course for destruction. And so on one hand, you could say, well, someone has to do something at some point, and that's fair. I still don't agree with this, but that's at least an argument you could make. But the fact that they're framing it within the context of neoliberalism does not spell good things for a leftist movement in the future, because they're inherently prioritizing neoliberalism over actual science, because this is just capitalism is just so ingrained in our brains and our society at this point.
It's based off of fear too. And that is the problem, is like conservatives, I believe conservatives win because they are so good at drumming up fear. They scare their base into voting of they're going to take away your guns, even though it would take 2/3 of Congress and move a mountain to abolish the Second Amendment. It would take them so much to do any of the things that the conservatives claim that Democrats and the left are doing, to just drum up that fear so people run in and pull the lever for their candidates. And now we're seeing, like, I think there's been fear for years with Democrats, but not to the scary extent of the right. But I'm starting to see that fear. And I think that fear is a natural reaction to the fact that the structures of capitalism are now threatened in America, probably more than they have been, because there's so many people becoming more socialist, becoming Marxist even. And that's scary to that's scary to a generation in a society that has built up the idea of rugged individualism and, you know, capitalism and free market worship.
Yep, I agree. It is a big fear-based reaction. I don't have any answers going right now on how we go forward. We just got to change society from the ground up. And I don't know. That's part of what I feel we're trying to do here in a small way. So, you know, I don't know. That's all I got on that. But it's just scary times, really, all around.
Terrifying.
Yeah, but yeah, it's also important not to give in to the fear. Just gotta do what you can do, and don't panic.
Yeah, vote please for do Trump. Not. Like, I'm a person that hates both parties, and even I cannot endorse accelerationism.
Yeah,
yeah. It just it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it's not a good justification. Yeah, we don't really need a post-apocalyptic environment to live in. I would rather avoid that if possible. But yeah, so I guess moving on to the next story, which is the Breonna Taylor lawsuit. It's a recent settlement where $12 million was given to Taylor's family, and there was also a couple of police reforms promised. Nothing major, and honestly, a lot of things, like, they should have done these things to begin with, but I'll just go over the list of a couple. Search warrants now need review and written approval. In Kentucky, promises to overhaul how search warrants are conducted, early warning system to flag officers with misconduct issues. Ambulances will need to stand idle nearby where search warrants are conducted. Require 2 hours of community service each pay period for active officers, and gives them credits to incentivize them to live in neighborhoods where they police. What's missing is there was no public condemnation of the murder, and the officers are still not arrested. And this is my short take on that, is without saying this was a wrongful murder and refusing to arrest the officers, to me, this sets a price tag on how much the state has to pay in order to sanction murder. And I know that might sound like a little bit like crazy or radical to some people, but like, think of how long it took to arrest the officers involved with George Floyd. It took weeks. And even then, it was incremental with the charges that were pressed against them. And we just had to keep pressing them to bring justice. And there's still no real justice.
No, there isn't. We have to demand the most radical just to get the bare minimum. Like we talked about the defunding of like the Seattle police, where they defunded only 1% of what they said. And that sucks, but it's just like you have to push and you have to keep on pushing. You can't just settle. That's the problem, is the right never settles. They always push. They always keep going. Just keep on heaving and pushing until they get what they want. And that's how they keep on winning.
Yeah, and then the Democrats keep
settling. Yeah, end up with egg on their face, just like, I can't believe this happened.
Yeah, right? These guys are so terrible. I can't believe this happened again. So that's all I've got for Breonna Taylor. Of course, protests are still going on. We're almost at 4 months, almost, just under. I think we're about a week away now of protests every day across the country over this shit.
Yeah, the bare minimum. The bare minimum. Joe Biden saying he wants to give more money to the police, and Republicans painting him as a radical Marxist that wants to make sure your suburbs aren't safe.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I guess we're speeding through these pretty quickly, so we might not need to cut this half. We'll see. The next couple ones are pretty dense. So we got some shit going on at the border again. Well, I mean, it's been going on, but some news broke out about a investigation into ICE and a lot of sexual assault going on, and also forced hysterectomies. The thing is, one of the crucial witnesses who spoke out about this was deported back to Mexico after calling. Yeah, totally not a cover up at all. Nothing to hide. Everything's normal. Also, they refused to test detainees for COVID. So that's another thing to chalk up. But ever since this woman, and I couldn't find her name, I think she was deliberately remained anonymous throughout the sources that I read. But two other women have spoken up since, but there have been a lot of women silent in regards to this because like out of fear. Just like this witness. So she was 35 years old. She had been detained for almost a year, and she claims that her and others were systematically assaulted in areas that were not recorded by security cameras. The DHS Inspector General, who was investigating the case, specifically asked ICE not to deport the woman for the purposes of the investigation, but they went ahead and did so. Now, she did waive her right to appeal deportation in July, which was before the allegations went public. But she refused to do this because she was afraid of being targeted by the guards for speaking up. And part of her testimony, they did a phone interview with her afterwards, and she said something along the lines of, "You don't know what these people can do. There's a lot of women that are afraid to speak up just because the guards have so much power. Like, I mean, really, what can you do in that situation?" And now she fears persecution from Mexican drug cartels, where she was also sexually abused. So she's in a shit situation now. But, you know, a year ago, there was a bunch of news broken out about how they were treating ICE detainees. And it was basically one criteria away from genocide. And, I mean, forced hysterectomies. Oh, that's also another genocide tactic. China is currently doing that to a particular population of theirs, and we're doing it to another well, technically not our
the, fa- the fastest growing minority group in our country is Latino, and we are committing crimes against humanity by doing these things and covering it up by deporting people and putting their lives at risk. Whenever and if it ever ends, we are going to look back at this with so much regret, so much, I hope we do at least. Some days I wake up and I'm just like, I don't know anymore. But it's disgusting. It's wrong. If this was to happen in any other country, we would be deploying drones and soldiers to liberate.
Yep. Exactly.
As long as they have oil.
America is exceptional.
Some other natural resource that we could pillage. But it would be frowned upon. They would at least state it. And the problem I have with it is that other world leaders, such as, you know, the United Nations and like our staunchest allies in the first world, have remained pretty quiet on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like all of our long-term allies have been like slowly backing off a little bit because of Trump's insanity.
Speaking out. Yeah,
but they haven't condemned it outright. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the problem I have, is like the same people that, you know, preach democracy that have joined us in our imperialistic conquest have remained quiet about it. And that just shows you just how corrupt all these systems really are.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just here. It's everywhere. It's global capitalism working as intended. If you don't have anything else, then
Only thing I have is just that I don't understand why, like, I see outrage, but I think we need to be taking to the streets over this. We should have been taken to the streets when this first started. We should have been taken to the streets when they start first building these awful facilities. And I don't care who's in power, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. This is wrong. Seeking asylum is not illegal. It is a misdemeanor to cross the border, by the way. It's the same as me running a red light. And you know what? I'm not getting separated from my family. I'm not a 5-year-old getting separated from my mother, my father, my uncle even. And because of a misdemeanor and all these people saying it's a crime, like, should really read up on the law.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big thing, is that so much of the narrative is saying like, oh, this is illegal. This is like akin to treason or some shit. Like, yeah, read up on the law. It's actually not that. The punishment is not that severe. What they're being tried for is not illegal, and a lot of this shit's just written into the fucking Constitution, man.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put it. For the people who claim to, like, be constitutionalists, they sure don't fucking act according to it. So I don't know. That's all I got on this, but, oh, and also, these facilities, a lot of them were built during the Obama administration. So, you know, like you said, it's not a partisan issue. Like, this is just wrong. This is not how we treat humans.
Yeah. Oh. So, before I get even more depressed, I'm going to get more depressed reading this anyways. But Trump says he will negotiate a third term because of how badly he's been treated if he wins in November. And this is what he said, and I'm reading off of a, I'm reading off of International Business Times. And it goes as follows. President Trump said he would negotiate a third term in 2024 if he wins November during a rally Saturday in Nevada, speaking to a crowd of mostly maskless supporters. Trump suggested he would spend 12 years in office, claiming he was probably entitled to 4 additional years. He also predicted he would be elected, reelected, and carry Nevada, a state he lost in 2016. And this is what this is another thing. In 52 days, we're going to win Nevada. We're going to win 4 more years in the White House, Trump told the non-socially distant crowd. And then after that, then we'll negotiate, right? Because we're probably, based on the way we were treated, we're probably entitled to another 4 after that. Now, probably. Here is the thing about that that's scary. It would take a lot of motions to, you know, change the rules, basically, that would allow him to do that. But the amount of times that they have joked, I say that with finger quotes, about Trump winning a third term or staying in there, like when he's talking about Xi in China, saying, oh, that sounds pretty good, we might need to look into that. When Mike Huckabee appeared on Hannity or Tucker, I don't remember what fucking show it was, but saying that Trump, that he was running Trump's 2024 reelection campaign. And they joke an awful lot about it.
Uh-huh. They do. But deep down, they're dead fucking serious.
They're softening you up. They're softening you up to see if they can strong arm.
Yep. Yeah. They want Big Daddy Trump to take care of everything. Yeah, it's not a joke. They'll say it's a joke, but it's really not. They secretly don't give a shit about democracy.
Yeah.
As much as they might.
No, they don't give a shit. They're more comfortable being in the arms of autocratic strongmen, apparently. And that's a scary thing about all of this.
Yeah. I guess segueing into the election stuff, let's jump down to the USPS news section, then we'll jump back up to the other crazy shit that the Trump administration has been doing. Because a lot of the USPS news that just broke out the last couple days is centered around the election. So one of the stories is that the Trump campaign is attempting to prevent New Jersey from counting ballots 10 days prior to the election. And they're also trying to cancel mail-in ballots with postmarks that are more than 2 days after the election day. And so one of the big narratives that, and other people have talked about this before, but one of the big narratives is, or possibilities, is that Trump is doing all this crazy mail-in voter fraud bullshit and then telling people to vote twice, once in person, once by mail, just to, you know, quote unquote, test the system, make sure it's working properly. Of course, he's doing all of this to basically contest the election.
Exactly. That's what I've been saying the entire time. Sorry to interrupt. It's like, that's what this is all about. Is just to muddy the waters enough to create enough doubt in the Fox News and the right wing media's mind so that they will amplify it, that Trump was robbed, that it will fit his narrative, that it's rigged.
Yep. Exactly. That's what they're going for.
And they're going to keep on doing it. And like, I don't see how if Trump wins, it's awful. If Biden wins, it's awful. And unfortunately, those are the awful choices we are stuck with. Well, realistically, a third party can't win. But we are stuck with these. And it's going to be like, if Biden wins, it's going to be election fraud, voter fraud. If Trump wins, it's going to be Russian interference. There's no winning here.
Yeah, there's no winning. Yeah, and unfortunately, we don't have a viable third party. I think I saw something the other day where the Green Party only got onto like 24 states ballots, something like that. So, yeah, I mean, if the Green Party, which is like has the most inroads out of any third party, they can only get in half of the ballots.
Like the Wisconsin thing, the Democratic Supreme Court, by the way, back them up getting the Green Party kicked off the ballot in Wisconsin. And I'm going to go off on a small little tangent here.
Yep.
Here's my thing. Is Bernie Sanders lost, correct? Oh, he clearly lost because we got fucking Joe fucking Biden. But all this thing about them saying there's no way, like people are like, no, we didn't rig the primaries against Bernie Sanders. No, we would never do that. We would never depress the vote. We want everybody to have their voice heard. Come on, progressives, you have a seat at the Democratic table. It's a big tent. It's a big table. We can all get together and hash it out. Getting the Green Party kicked off of these ballots is the opposite of that to me. It is the complete opposite. It shows they don't care about depressing the vote if it benefits them. They don't care about the progressive wing, because if they take away the Green Party from voting, the progressives will have no choice but to vote for Biden or not vote at all, depressing the vote even further. So anybody that wants to argue with me about the Democratic Party not being nefarious, that I'm just some crazy guy that needs to put on his tinfoil hat and just fall in fucking line and vote for Joe fucking Biden, here is my thought on that. You don't care about what we want. You don't care about people's not having health care. You don't care about the impending homeless crisis. You don't give a shit. Quit pretending you do. It's grandstanding. Every fucking liberal fucking blue check mark, every fucking centrist motherfucker that calls themselves a pragmatic progressive, a realistic progressive, a realistic left-wing person. You know what they do? They support the fucking corporate machine. They support the corporate machine that is fucking swallowing everybody whole. And that's what they do. There isn't any of this, oh, I'm just being realistic. No. You are perpetuating the problem with your indifference, whether you realize it or not, or your own fucking selfish greed. And the fact that you would get support getting the most progressive party. We can talk about the Green Party. I have my own fucking issues with the Green Party. And there's a lot of them, by the way. So I'm not one of those people that's fucking standing Howie Hawkins or the Greens by any fucking means. But by taking away people's choice, you are no better than the fucking people you claim to be fighting against.
Yeah. Exactly. They are two sides of the same coin. They don't care about us or progressives. No. And while the Democrats would like to be in power, they don't really mind.
Yeah, they get more donations.
Win. Yeah, they get more donations. They can stir up more drama. They can ultimately preserve the status quo for as long as possible.
Yeah.
And that's all they care about, because they're too comfortable in their fucking ivory tower to give a shit about real change and improving the lives of people.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's all bullshit. And like you said, there are a lot of issues with the Green Party. Holy shit. There's plenty of corruption.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so much.
Too.
That's why.
So, and that could be a whole thing. Whole episode, really, if we wanted to make it. Stop pretending you care. Bullshit. At least own up to it and admit that you're a fucking corporatist who only cares about fucking profits and keeping your fucking 3 or 4 multi-million pieces of property, because it makes you feel good inside. Yeah, shit.
Sorry, I had to say it. That's been brewing in me for a while.
That's a good rant, and I'm a lot on board with it. It's funny, like my views of, like, you know, whether or not to vote for Joe Biden or not they've changed drastically over the course of this year. I think if you asked me earlier this year, I would have said, look, I know it sucks, but basically damage control, and Biden is shit. I hate him too. I'm going to shit all over his administration if it happens. Hopefully it does happen, but if it happens, I'm going to fucking shit all over him. But at least he'll, like, try to listen to the left a little bit. But, you know, obviously that's proven not to be the case after him failing to make any concessions with Bernie Sanders and his advice. But I don't know. I mean, I still think, like, if you're in a swing state, I think I've said this before, but if you're in a swing state, I mean, the Green Party is not going to win. I'm sorry. Fuck off. But just vote for Biden and suck it up and fucking keep promoting fucking leftism. But if you're in a deep blue state or a deep red state, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Vote your conscience, really. I mean, ultimately, vote your conscience. But the only case I see for Biden is if you're in a hardcore swing state like I am. That's why I'm so torn on this. Otherwise, I'd be saying fuck Biden 100%. I still am, but, you know. It's a shit situation all around, really. Hopefully we can start doing better with next election cycle. We've got the Movement's People for a Progressive Party on the rise.
Yeah. So it's going to be a little mini rant again. this is my thought.
Yeah.
And it connects to what I said about the Green Party is, if they're doing this to the Green Party that's established, you need to be prepared for them to come hard at the People's Party. They are going to come so hard at the People's Party. And they now have the handbook. They have the handbook to stifle progressives inside the party. And they have the handbook roadmap, so to speak, to basically alienate people and, like, disenfranchise people, and they're going to come for the People's Party next. They're going to do it. They're really good at it. It's happening.
Sure.
So be on your toes. This is pushing a rock up a mountain. It is. Sorry. I wish I could say it was fucking easier where, like, oh, we voted for Bernie Sanders. Even if we got fucking Bernie Sanders, we would have never gotten Medicare for All. It was just a weapon to use. It was something to push for. In the current situation that we're in with our court system, with our corporate Democrats, with our fucking far-right Nazi Republican Party, getting Medicare for All was going to be a fight. The fight's harder now because Bernie Sanders didn't win. Sorry. The fight is harder. But you have to, there has to be some realism to it. There has to be, like, if you want to get anywhere, if you want to see the societal change, you gotta realize that this is a marathon. It is not a sprint. Even if we have the fucking perfect candidate in 2024 or 2028, it's going to be a battle. And that's all I'm going to say on that. Let's get, I'm going to kick it back over to you because I'm getting fucking pissed off. Like, this Green Party shit has just been eating away at me for, like, the last 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, let's move on. Yeah, I think at some point we're going to have to do a positive episode, both for both of our fucking health, because I think, like, focusing on what we can do, I think that's something we could do later, and just, like, fuck the news for a week and, you know, talk about shit like home gardening and subverting power structures and all this shit. Mm-hmm. We got to do something positive because I'm getting tired of the negative news too. It's fucking bullshit, but let's continue on. We're almost done. We got another 20, 30 minutes or so, but so the USPS, you know, of course we got all this election shit going on. So there's a couple of big leaks from the Washington, or not leaks, but reports from the Washington Post this week. One of them reported on a collection of internal documents that were mostly from March and April of this year, back when the pandemic was really kicking off and people were scrambling to figure out what the fuck to do because of our inept administration. This collection of documents, about 10,000 documents, shows that the USPS relied pretty heavily on Republicans and like well-connected Republicans to like the Trump administration and stuff for advice when COVID broke out. One of the plans, according to these documents, was to mail out 650 million masks to each American household. And that's enough for five for each American household. That document was never sent out. Now, this is from the Washington Post. Before the news release was sent, the White House nixed the plan, according to their senior administration officials, who spoke on the condition of anonymity to share internal deliberations. Instead, the HHS created Project Strong America, a $670 million effort to distribute, quote, reusable cotton face masks to critical infrastructure sectors, companies, healthcare facilities, and faith-based and community organizations across the country, end quote. About 600 million of the 650 million masks ordered have been distributed, according to the spokesperson, including 125 set aside, million set aside for schools. And this is a quote from the person. There was concern from some in the White House Domestic Policy Council and the Office of the Vice President. Households receiving masks might create concern or panic. So they didn't send out fucking masks to people directly. And this would have covered a broad swath of the fucking population, mind you. They didn't do this because they were too afraid that people would get, they would be afraid. Like, you're actually going to rely on the fear argument? I just send the fucking masks, dude. Like, I can't do it. This is a bullshit excuse, obviously. This is not a real justification, but this is what they're giving us. They didn't not send out the masks out of fear. They did it so they could continue to get more private sector investments and fuck it with who get subsidized loans from the government and from the Fed while they're printing out $3+ extra trillion out of thin air into the economy to fund all of this shit so that the rich can get even richer. Instead of helping out the people, they're helping out what the industrial organizations, the healthcare. I mean, of course, healthcare facilities need it, right? But like faith-based and community so you're just going to get to churches, not to people. Fuck off with your justification about you didn't want to scare the American people. That's my shit on that. But another report from the Washington Post is that there was a federal judge that ruled that Trump and Louis DeJoy, who is the current head of the USPS, were, quote, involved in a politically motivated attack on the efficiency of the Postal Service, and will issue injunction reversing changes leading to mail delays under DeJoy. As this quote from the article, in a complaint filed from August 18th, the group argued that the Postal Service acted outside of its authority by making operational changes without seeking an advisory opinion from the Postal Regulation Commission, which is an independent facility with power to review the USPS's policies and performance. And DeJoy also testified in Congress, confirming that he was responsible for the policy changes that led to the delays in mails, in mailing times. Now, I have a personal anecdote to back this up. So back at the outbreak, even just a couple months after the outbreak, I don't think I spoke to any person who had issues getting like Amazon packages or mail from other sources. It was all on time. It was still functioning normally. It was as if nothing happened because the USPS is fucking badass. All of our postal services are FedEx, all of them. They're awesome. I mean, but so I ordered like a shitload of shit just to stock up. And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to not order stuff for a while. I don't want to make anyone's lives arbitrarily harder. You know, I don't want to contribute to potential risks and whatever. But, you know, time goes on, you run out of stuff. So I ordered some tea, right? A couple months ago. And I wanted to test this out. So I did like a couple orders. One was a couple months ago. Another was like a month ago. Each one of them took like 3 weeks to get here. Now, I can live without tea. I don't give a fuck. That's fine. I mean, it's an inconvenience at the very least. But like, I have literally never had issues during this entire pandemic about getting mail on a timely manner until Trump and his administration started attacking the USPS and claiming them of voter fraud and all this shit. That's when the real shit started. That's when all the delays started. And if this is happening to my stupid little T that doesn't matter, God knows what they're doing to the mail-in ballots. I mean, I might have mentioned this before. I mailed an order in a mail-in ballot for my state's primaries a month and a half in advance, and I never got it. But when I went to the to the voting place, because I had to vote in person because I didn't get it, I had to wait 2.5 fucking hours to get to the polling booth. And they told me that, oh, according to our records, it looks like you received a mail-in ballot. Did you want to still vote in person? And I said, yeah, I never got the ballot. So yeah, I'm here. That's why I'm here. They said, okay. So they handed me this form basically saying, you know, you're going to waive your whatever vote you put in with your mail-in ballot, and whatever you do in person, that's what's going to count. So, and there was like, there were thousands of copies sitting on this desk that they were handing out to people about this mail-in ballot shit, because people just either didn't get it or they were getting empty envelopes. And this is in a swing state. So what the fuck's going to happen in November, right? With all these delays on top of everything else? Like, people aren't going to get their ballots, dude.
And we've talked about voter fraud before, with like even the Heritage Foundation really couldn't find much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Heritage Foundation, of all things, the most like right-wing, arguably the most right-wing like propaganda machine. I don't know, dude. That's my rant about the USPS. It's just, we're going to have to vote in person, especially swing states. Like, just get prepared, bring a backpack full of snacks and water and shit, and just get ready. So, on that note, let's move on to some fucking nationalism.
Yeah, USA.
Oh, yeah. USA, baby. So the Trump administration is just like going hardcore at this the last week or so. So he designed, and I'll try to cut this short. We're at this for a little while. I'll cut down on some of the quotes, but the first thing is that Trump signed an executive order that gives Americans, quote, the most favored nation price, end quote, for Medicare Part B and D prescription drugs or biological products. I don't know what the biological products means. This price is supposedly not higher than the lowest price paid in member countries of the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, or the OECD. And it's basically most of the world's economic powerhouses, mostly from the EU, the Americas, Japan, South Korea, all that stuff. Russia, China are not on this list because, you know, politics. But aside from them, basically all the powerhouses. The thing is, there's this, I won't read this whole thing, but there's an excerpt that basically says the price, it says, so Trump is saying the price, we are not going to pay more than the lowest price of any member country on this group. However, the caveat is, quote, that it that has a comparable per capita GDP, gross domestic product. Now, this is just from Wikipedia, but in 2017, the U.S. GDP, oh shit, I actually read this wrong. Okay, never mind. This might actually lower drug prices. I was looking at total GDP. So the U.S. is like fifth on this list. It's about 59,000 GDP per capita. Luxembourg is 103. Anyways, okay, so there are countries like around the 60,000. Okay, so we might get, and that includes Norway, Iceland, Netherlands, Netherlands, Austria, Switzerland, Denmark. Those are all within our comparable GDP range. So, okay, maybe we'll get.
Yeah, this is because he's actually polling not so well with senior citizens right now. Like his senior citizen, that he's seen a drop in his support from senior citizens, and this is his way of trying to salvage that. Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, I know he wouldn't do this for free. I just kind of like misread the data at first, and that flummoxed my entire argument. But what I was going to say is that like the U.S. had 20 billion almost in GDP, and then the second place was Japan at like 5.5 billion. So it's like, how do you determine what's comparable? But yeah, he's trying to, but that's not a valid argument anymore. No, you're right. And it's no surprise, really, because he's like completely disregarded the elderly and the immunocompromised when it comes to the COVID response. Him and all the Conservative Party, really. Yeah, we've kind of talked about that before, and I won't go on another rant. There's another nationalism thing where, let's see, Trump administration bans Chinese imports made in quote-unquote concentration camps from the Xinjiang, I know I fucked that pronunciation, region of China. This is the region of China that's like the northwestern part. There's a lot of human rights violations going on there. Various forms of genocide. They're also doing forced hysterectomies over there as well. It's an ethnic minority population. They're fucking them up. But Trump administration basically said they're not going to take imports from this region because, quote, according to, oh, Trump also commented, but here's the CBP, Customs Border Patrol official, quote, this is modern day slavery. Trump has been very clear. This administration will not tolerate egregious human rights violations that are taking place in China. Illicit, inhumane, and exploitative practices of modern day slavery will not be tolerated in the U.S. supply chain. So does that mean we're going to like cancel global capitalism, or is it just like this particular part of the world? That's my question.
Yeah.
Like, if this is the justification they're going to give, they need to just cancel fucking neoliberalism.
I mean, I just, like, God.
Yeah. It's just like picking and choosing which little politically inconvenient people you want to, like, stomp into the ground. And right now it's China as a whole. So China is the big bag of the evil of the world right now. Moving on, Michael Caputo, who was a top communications director at the Department of Health and Human Services, he's losing his mind. I don't think he's playing the conspiracy angle. I mean, he is, but he's just like going insane. I mean, he straight up said like, because of quarantine, he's seeing shadows on the walls and they won't start moving or they won't stop moving or some shit. But he basically went on a big Facebook rant about how the CDC is like harboring a resistance unit to undermine the Trump administration. that he talked about the deep state and what they're doing to undermine the Trump administration. He said the election won't be fair and that left-wing groups are inciting violence, or, you know, the standard conservative talking points we've heard the last couple months. And he just like went off the deep end, which the post is gone. I kind of wish I had seen it, but you know, but he's taken a 2-month leave of absence after this. So we've got, it's not just the average person that's going insane because of this COVID shit. It's these, you know, it's some of the top officials as well. That could explain some of the erraticism, some of it. Emphasis on some.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not all. Okay. So there's two big pieces of news I came across today. Trump announced that he's signing an executive order to implement the, quote, 1776 commission that will teach a patriotic version of U.S. history because we shouldn't be ashamed of our past, apparently. And it's basically, you know, whitewashing even more than already happens in our public, but he wants to completely whitewash the all the horrible things that Americans have done over the last 250 years. And he said during announcement, I'll just do the last one. The only path to national unity is through our shared identity as Americans. That is why it is so urgent that we finally restore patriotic education to our school. And my thing with this is like, the right has been boogeymanning for the last couple of years about cultural Marxism and how colleges are just communist indoctrination camps and all this fucking bullshit, which is not true at all. I didn't have any fucking leftist teachers out of all the colleges.
Yeah, it just basically means that our history books are going to be even more propaganda. So, awesome.
Yeah. Straight up, even more propaganda. It's going to be great. But here they are, you know, they complain about the gulags and shit. When the gulags are fucking bad, mm-hmm. right? Like, but like,
gulags bad. See, communism bad, social justice bad, all of it. Yep, but American flag and hurrah-rah American imperialism and destabilizing entire regions of the world. Hey, okay.
Mm-hmm. Good shit. Good shit. Good shit. Totally acceptable. And the last bit of here we've got is Attorney General William Barr is now encouraging prosecutors to be aggressive when charging violent protesters, including allegations of sedition, which is undermining, basically treason to undermine the America. So we're just going to go even harder at protesters. He said violent protesters, but that's like a key word for all BLM protesters. Like that, like that's how all conservatives use it. So it's all protesters right now. Unless you're a gun-toting, you know, non-mask wearing freedom loving motherfucker, then you're okay. Yeah. Yeah. Shit. I don't know. That's all I got. There's some QAnon stuff, which will hopefully lighten the mood a little bit. This is what I forgot to mention on last show. On September 10th, the QMAP.pub, which is also known as the Q App Anon, the creator of this, who is Jason Galinas, who lives in New Jersey, he was identified as the owner of this, of QMAP.pub, which is like the major compendium of QAnon shit. And they matched his home address with the businesses and the websites' addresses that was listed on their information. He was, quote, the developer and the mouthpiece for the site, according to a logically.ai investigation. When asked, he said QAnon is a patriotic movement to save the country, so he's like fully on board with it. He's an information security analyst at Citigroup, but Citigroup didn't comment on this matter. But this doesn't necessarily mean that this guy is Q, assuming that like there is another person and that Q actually exists, which, spoiler alert, he almost certainly doesn't. It just means that a line of communication was opened between Galinus and Jim Watkins of 8chan was opened in 2018, which is when the qmap.pub website was put online. So ever since this news broke out, there's been a lot of QAnon people who have taken out either all or most of the QAnon hashtags out of their social media profiles, which is hilarious to me because they're scared. They know their game is getting unveiled. They're trying to hide a little bit. They're calling themselves conservatives and all this good stuff, but you know, it's the same people. And yeah, it's just funny to see them hide and scurry like rats off a sinking ship. Here's my favorite part, and this is what we'll end the show with, is that apparently the wildfires across California and the West Coast and everything, apparently they're not started by forest fires. They are direct energy weapons. That's what started them. And they tried to prove this through like a 1 minute video of what looks to be like Earth or satellite or something.
Sorry to interrupt. This is not new though. Yeah. Is I remember when I was like literally seeing smoke from wildfires in 2018, and I remember them saying what you're about to say, that they've been pushing this narrative for a while now.
Oh man.
No. This was I actually saw it on Reddit years ago and saw it on Twitter. And I was sitting there and it got to me because when they were pushing this narrative, I was just like, motherfuckers, I'm here breathing in smoke. The entire Bay Area is covered in smoke, and you guys think there's goddamn energy weapons and that's why they're not destroying the mansions, is to protect, to distract from the Great Awakening and protect the rich, like to protect Nancy Pelosi, or when the LA fires, to protect Tom Hanks. Yeah, they've been using the direct energy weapons for a while. I'll see if I can find the old post about it.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, hell, I wish it was direct energy weapons, because I want them. I want those.
Yeah.
I can think of some good uses of them. Or just give me a Gundam. That's cool too. I'm good.
Yeah, that. I could accept a Gundam.
Yep. Gundam, yeah, space any lasers, of any of that shit. That would be awesome. Yeah. So, you know, the next time you see any kind of fire set in your local area, just
remember it's energy weapons.
You got to remember it's energy weapons. It's a targeted orbital strike, and it's directly aimed at your community. Just got to watch out for the fucking space lasers, man.
Yeah, that's
all I got.
I don't really have much other than if you like what you hear, subscribe to us on whatever pod platform of your choice. Give us reviews, stars, hearts, thumbs ups. It helps people find the show. And have a great night.